Spirit Guide Underground, August 1, 2008.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room of the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Okay, let's jump into updates. Okay, I am feeling like really just kind of wired right now because I'm getting close and I'm getting closer all the time to completing Dark Ritual. I have finished polishing all of the scenes in Dark Ritual, and that doesn't mean I'm completely done fussing with them. It just means that my initial mix of all of the scenes is complete. I've also finished up, I've still got some polishing left to do on the songs that have been completed so far. I've got someone that's coming in next week to record some guitar parts that are probably going to be added to a few different songs, so then I'll kind of go through the mix again and reevaluate and mix in his guitar parts as appropriate. I've also got a song and a half left to complete. I've been talking about this mysterious song and a half for a while now. One song I've kind of started dropping things into a file for and started doing some preliminary mixing and stuff like that, and neither of these songs are complicated or really layered. They're, you know, a little bit more ballads or I don't know how to describe them, but anyway, they're not really layered and complicated like the other ones, that's one of the reasons I saved them to do last, I don't know that I'm going to be able to get them done before I go to Gen Con. I'm leaving the 13th of August to go to Gen Con, and I'll be back the 18th. So I'm trying to get as much as I can done between now and the 12th. Next week I will be working on music. The old songs with the new guitar parts and the new songs, completing them and stuff like that. That's what I am doing. So, as always, your prayers are appreciated and your words of support are as well. It's mind-numbing sometimes to be working so much on this. It's kind of filling my every waking moment now. I've kind of fallen behind in some comic book reading and some other things because all I'm doing in my free time, and in addition to the time I spend during my workday on this stuff, it's all on Dark Ritual. That's kind of my life right now, so I'm going a little bit crazy. But I'm loving it, and I'm very excited for it to be done, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. So anyway, that's kind of the progress report on that. We're going to give you some movie news in our main feature, and then look at 1 Thessalonians, and that's what we're doing. So let's just get to it.
Primary feature.
Movie information.
Activated.
Okay, let's get you some updates on some cool movies and stuff coming out. First off, the Tron 2 trailer that's kind of been bootlegged on from San Diego Comic-Con. I actually found a link for it. I'll include that in the show notes if I can remember. Otherwise, you can go to patersbrain.blogspot.com for the link to that and the trailer for X-Men Origins Wolverine. The Tron 2 trailer, the bootleg one that I saw was like really kind of, it was obvious this person was trying not to make a big deal out of recording the trailer because it was like this really crooked, sometimes cut off view of distant view of the screen. But I saw enough to see that this looks really cool. It did feature Jeff Bridges, and the special effects were, you know, it's just, I mean, obviously they'd be completely updated, but it was just really cool to see them completely updated. And they were doing some really, you know, cinematic, crazy action type stuff, really cool slow motion shots, you know, of a light speeder exploding while a guy goes flying off of it, and just some really cool, you know, semi-matrixy stuff, not like full out bullet time, but definitely some cool camera stuff that, you know, that you could only see, I think, in kind of this digital world. So it was definitely very, very cool. But yeah, it was just exciting to see everything looking as crisp and clear and detailed as it is, and still looking kind of computer-esque, if you will. And I couldn't make out some lines at the end, but Jeff Bridges was in some way interfacing with the computer world. I didn't quite see how, but they showed him kind of outside and like looking down on this large holographic display. One person that saw a clear cut of the trailer, or whatever you call it, said that it was kind of like a holodeck that he was in, but I didn't necessarily get that impression. But he was in some way overlooking the computer world, and then we also saw a shot of Jeff Bridges in it, and he says something cool, and then appears to kill somebody and kill like another program, or maybe it was, you know, another user, I don't know, but he didn't have like the kind of whimsical Flynn smile on his face. It looked to be like Flynn, in whatever scenario he was experiencing there, was somewhat, it was a darker take. And so it was a good sign for me, because I'd like a little less cheery, a little bit more darker, I hesitate to say grown up, but I guess I'll use that for lack of a better phrase, take on Tron. So anyway, yeah, check out that link, because it'll probably get snatched up and you know, executed by Paramount or is Disney, I guess. Yeah, Disney's doing the Tron too. Anyway, X-Men Origins Wolverine, saw another, this one that I saw was a much better kind of taping of that trailer, and from what I can tell, it looks like it's going to be really good. It's got some other mutants featured in there. I saw the Blob, Sabretooth, Gambit, who's played by the dude that plays Sawyer on Lost, and the crowd. I mean, lots of crowd pleasing kind of moments in the teaser trailer that they showed, and some really sweet action. I mean, you could see them kind of dumbing down their budget. Does that make any sense? Dumbing down your budget? We'll just say cheapening. Forget I said dumbing down. Can we go back and erase? Never mind. But it looked really cool. Like there was, you know, they weren't sparing any expense to make a really cool action movie. And in some way, it looked a lot more cool than, definitely than the last X-Men movie. That just seemed to be all like flashy substance, or all flashy, you know, colors and no substance. This looked like it was going to have some grit, some substance, some darkness to it. It looked like it's going to be a lot more grounded in reality. You know what it was? I didn't see anybody in costumes. That's what it was. I didn't see any mutants that were like kind of wearing mutant costumes. So it was very kind of gritty and down to earth. So I think in that regard, it's going to be a darker, a little bit more realistic type of a mutant movie. So the trailer looked really cool. Check out that link at patersbrain.blogspot.com and try to catch that video before it gets destroyed by the suits in Hollywood. Dwayne Johnson reported that he was asked about playing Black Adam in the upcoming Shazam movie, and he's been very interested in the character for a while, and he went overseas and talked with a director at length about the character. He's very interested in playing Black Adam, and actually when I saw the video of him that I did, and this was over at comicstofilm.com, go check out that site, great resource, a lot of the stuff I get is from comicstofilm.com, he actually looked less bulky and kind of slimmed down, which I think is good for Black Adam. I think, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is, you know, in the past as a wrestler, been a little bit too bulky for somebody like Black Adam, but he's still very muscular, but I think he's going to fit. If they take him in his current physique, I think he'll make a really cool Black Adam. Let's see, an Australian newspaper reports that the JLA movie will shoot in 2009. I don't know how reliable that was. It was kind of in the context of an interview with the chick that's going to play Wonder Woman, so that was kind of like a small detail in the article, and it didn't look very substantiated, but that's what they're saying, and from what I understand, they're going to be filming it in Australia, so I mean, you know, at least they're a little bit closer to the story than we are. Let's see here. Sci-Fi Wire, according to Comics to Film, talked with Chris Evans, a.k.a. the Human Torch from the Fantastic Four movies, about the prospect of a third installment for the franchise. He says, oh, I think we're done. he was promoting his movie Push at Comic-Con International in San Diego. I actually saw a little bit of this, him talking at on G4's coverage of Comic-Con, talking a little bit about Fantastic Four and being done. But this little interview here that Sci-Fi Wire got has some more details. He said, I'm pretty sure we're done. I mean, I can't say for sure. You never know. But I would imagine, given the fact after the first film, I think the week after the first film opened, they were writing the next script and talking to us about it and very much involving us. And we were up and running 6 months later. The second one came out, and I haven't heard a word, and it's been almost a year now. I would imagine Fantastic Four is done. Well, I think that's actually great news if they're going to keep going in the direction that they were heading in before. Sorry, that little... I just bumped my hand on my keyboard, so a little hiccup in my voice there. Over at JoeBlow.com, there's some interesting bits about the upcoming G.I. Joe movie, so go to JoeBlow.com and read the full article. But the highlights right here are that there are only four major action sequences in the film, although we are assured that they're huge and won't disappoint, says JoeBlow.com. The producers wanted Snake Eyes to say one word toward the end of the film, but that's not going to happen. Probably a good idea, seeing as how he never said a single word in the entire run of the animated series. To my knowledge, I'm not a huge... G.I. Joe fan, but someone can correct me on that if I'm wrong. Overall, the film is being treated as a Cobra Commander origin story. Let's see here. Dennis Quaid, who plays General Hawk, was convinced to do the film by his son. There's not a whole lot of money in it, reportedly, for him. I wonder how old his son is. But anyway, Paramount actually put up more money for this film than they did for Transformers. Well... you know, I don't know if that's good news or not. Transformers kind of sucked. I won't get into that now. If you really, you know, if you want to talk to me about why I think Transformers suck. Actually, okay, it didn't suck. It just, well, just go back in the archives and find the podcast where I did the review on it. It's a good movie, just, to, you know, 30 minutes of jokes should have been cut out. So hopefully there won't be that 30 minutes of jokes in the G.I. Joe movie. Okay, moving on, sorry. Lastly, a lot of characters were left out in hopes of adding them to the sequels. I suppose no surprise there. That includes fan favorite Roadblock, who will not be in this movie, but they're hoping to have it in a sequel in the future. All right, so there you have it. That's kind of the cool geeky news and rumors updates for this time around.
Every word of God proves true. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
All right, today we are searching for truth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we read in Acts 17, Paul had just started a church in Thessalonica, but had to leave because of some antagonistic Jews that didn't like what he was teaching. In the first three verses of Acts 18, Paul finds himself in Corinth, living and working with a husband and wife who had been expelled from Italy for being Jews, unfortunately. During this time, Paul writes two letters to encourage and inform the young and struggling group of Christians he had been forced to leave behind in Thessalonica. In his greeting, Paul uses a phrase common to his letters, grace and peace to you, or grace and peace be with you, depending on your translation. It could say any number of things, but grace and peace. Now, you may remember that we've defined grace here before. In a nutshell, it means undeserved favor. In the Bible, it can be used as broadly as it sounds, but often refers specifically to the undeserved favor given to us by Christ's death and payment for our sins. Peace refers to undisturbed and untroubled well-being, having peace with God through trusting in Jesus instead of the natural conflict with Him we create with our sin is the real key to having peace regarding the other details of life. Paul highlights several positive traits in the Christians he's writing to that I think we can look at and we can try to imitate. Number one, their work of faith. The Thessalonians had genuine faith that motivated them to take action. It wasn't just this kind of, you know, this feeling that they had. It changed the way they viewed the world to the point that they took action. That's real faith. Number two, their labor of love. Their genuine love propelled their strong efforts. Again, when our faith is real, when our love is real, it's going to change the way that we the way that we act, the way that we prioritize our lives. And these folks here, the Thessalonians, their genuine love was so strong that it motivated and kept strong, for lack of a better word. I'm losing all my words right now. But it made their efforts strong. Their efforts were as strong as their love was. In direct proportion. How does that sound? I love that phrase. Okay, number three, their endurance of hope in Christ. They continually chose to trust in Jesus. And I use the word choose because, again, faith is not a feeling. It is ultimately a choice. You look at the evidence and then you make your decision. And they chose to trust in Jesus. Even when life was difficult, they endured. They had hope in what the evidence was pointing them toward. Paul also says that God chose them. Now, this might seem like an odd blip on the radar, considering that so much of the Bible seems to ask us to choose or believe in God, right? But although we are responsible for our decision regarding Jesus, in some way that we can't quite grasp, God also chooses those that he will save. Everyone that genuinely chooses to believe and trust in Christ has also been chosen by God. So don't be afraid that that God is not going to choose you, even if you choose to believe in him. If we genuinely choose to believe and trust in Christ, then we are among those that God has chosen. You can trust in that. The text here doesn't allow us to go any deeper into this topic right now, but it's a fascinating one, and we'll very likely be returning to it at some point in the future when there's a text that deals with it more specifically and directly. All right, let's take a look at the indicators Paul mentions that convinced him the Thessalonians had been chosen and saved by God. They accepted this. I'm looking at verses 5 through 7. They accepted the words of Paul's gospel, and gospel means good news and usually refers to the basic truth of who Jesus is and what he did for us and what it means for us now and forever. So they accepted, they accepted the words of Paul's gospel. There was some unspecified display of God's power and the Holy Spirit that's mentioned there. There was also a sense of conviction, and I think this last one is a point worth pausing for. If we're really allowing the Holy Spirit to do some work inside of us, then our own sins will bother us enough that we take action against them. We'll also have priorities in life that are reorganized in light of the truth. If neither of these things are happening, there's a good chance that we are ignoring the Holy Spirit. I speak from personal experience. This week, I just felt like God was getting my attention about some stuff that that I need to deal with, that I need to make sure that I'm giving time to and watching out for, just stuff in my own life, that I've kind of gotten soft to, like I had sin in my life that wasn't really affecting, you know, the way I feel anymore. It wasn't as ugly to me as it should be. And so I speak from personal experience, unfortunately, in ignoring what the Holy Spirit is trying to get my attention about. If these things are happening, then like the Thessalonians, if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, and our sins are bothering us enough that we take action against them, then like the Thessalonians, we're going to be used by God to transform the lives of those around us. Even while suffering and pain and mistreatment by others, new Christians became imitators of the Lord, and they received the truth with a sense of joy despite their circumstances. That's in verse 6. And this ended up being a striking example to those around them. You can see that in verses 7 through 8. The Thessalonian Christians were all people that had broken from their traditional culture to trust in Jesus. So, I mean, in this time, it was a countercultural movement to be a Christian. And I think in some ways it's the same thing today. You've got this kind of cultural Christianity or religiosity that kind of puts Jesus in there somewhere, you know, and people go to church and stuff like that. But I mean, I think there's probably a lot of folks that it's just kind of a ritual for them, you know. And it would be countercultural to really follow Jesus. And that's the case here. These guys, they had some Jews in their ranks who would have been familiar with God, but most of them were non-Jews from polytheistic backgrounds. Polytheistic means many gods. They worship or acknowledge many gods in existence. And these folks were strong enough to break from the norm and follow the genuine, legitimate God of all existence. They waited for, quote, his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, end quote. It had only been about 20 years since Jesus had been raised from the dead when Paul wrote this, so the Thessalonians had the benefit of eyewitnesses and other forms of fresh evidence. Takes a little more digging for us today, but like the Thessalonians, we've got to decide if we're willing to break from popular opinion and begin the search for truth. And then, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, I think that's a choice we constantly make. Are we willing to break from popular opinion, either among kind of mainstream society or in the Christian circles we're in? Are we really willing to break from popular opinion and pursue truth, no matter where it takes us? Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be, have I said that yet? Sometimes I record this podcast out of order, so maybe you'll hear it very soon. But next week, we're going to be looking at Spirit Blade Chapter 5, I believe it is. Coffeehouse question for this week. Who's been the biggest influencer by example in your spiritual life? Who's been someone that you look at the way they live or the way they act or the way they prioritize their life, whatever it may be, but someone who's influenced you by example in regard to your spiritual life? I would love to hear about that kind of person. I think it's good for all of us to kind of hear about examples and people that are living right and prioritizing things the right way. There you have it. So let me hear from you on that. You can send me an email at pater@spiritblade.net. Or what else can you do? You can record a message at pater.blogspot.com and patersbrain.blogspot.com. Sorry. And pater.libsyn.com. Both of those. If you got a mic on your computer, you can hit the record button and leave me a message, and I will play it on the podcast. I would love to hear from you.
Future, a world where the quest for truth has ended, although some of us are trying to keep it alive.
Hey, Rand, do you think Vincent's okay?
He's become more tense and distant every day since Isaiah died.
I'll make sure we get back on track, even if I gotta save everybody from themselves.
We've got our share of enemies.
Hey, you can't come here!
Intruder, take him down!
Rand, what is that thing?
Look out!
Surprise!
We're looking for others to join us.
What's with the blue robes? These guys wizards or something?
Santafi are powerful weavers of miracles.
We thought we'd found some allies.
Encircle them, brothers.
They cannot return with us to the village.
And we must purify this place of their stain.
We were wrong.
Ready, brothers.
Let's begin.
Burn, ungodly filth!
What do you want? To make you ours or to make you despair?
Spirit Blade Productions presents...
Did you have any idea how much I will make you suffer? The horrific agony that I will inflict...
Spirit Blade, Dark Ritual.
Hell will be a refuge for you when I'm finished.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Okay, that's it for this week. We're going to get back into Spirit Blade chapter, I believe it's chapter 5 next weekend. So I hope you guys will enjoy that. And as always, on Monday, I put some, you know, just discussion points about the theological inspiration for Spirit Blade, the chapter that's going to be played next Friday. I'm going to discuss that in writing on Monday at Spirit Blade. What is it called? Spiritblade.typepad.com. That's where we're at. That's the underground blog. That's it. I thought I had something more, but I have nothing. I need to go and do some mixing for Dark Ritual. So you guys have a great week, and I hope you spend some time seeking the truth.
This is www.spiritblade.net. Santa is awesome. Ida is a crazy freak.